Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, coming live as always from our studio here in Tralee. Of course, we weren't live last week from Tralee, we were in Killarney. Big thanks to Ivan, brought the whole show and everybody across to Killarney, and a big shout out and big thanks to him as well. Now, tonight's show we discuss with our football panel the new rule changes, and there's plenty of them, they're on the horizon. John Kendi, of course, was in Listowel to see Douai defeat Tarbert in the Junior Club All North Kerry final, which was quite exciting. And we'll take a look back at those big wins for Dr. Crokes and Dingle. So I suppose in many ways, all about it was a real D-Day, with all the teams beginning with D winning at the weekend. I don't know if that's accident or design, but that's fantastic. Now, in the second hour, of course, we'll catch up with some members of the Kerry GA Supporters Club ahead of their supporter social at the end of the month. And then to end this evening's show, we catch up with some members of the Castle Island Desmonds ladies football team, who are, of course, the newest county champions in Kerry. A big congratulations to them. We'll be getting the story, behind the story maybe, with them. So the three stories at the start, I suppose. The big story in North Kerry, John Kennedy, Douai are champions.
Yeah, Donal, a great occasion, I suppose, in Listowel on Saturday evening. Great venue, great atmosphere, great crowd. We've been talking, I suppose, about the small crowds for the championship, but this really caught the imagination, I think, of the neutrals in North Kerry, you know, and Tarbert going in as favourites, I suppose, on looking not to get to Division 2 in the County League. Douai, on the other hand, strolled through Division 5 under new management with John Halpin on board, and they certainly gave a real account of themselves on Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. Tarbert, on the other hand, you know, with a new management, Eamon McKelligott and a few of the lads, Ambrose Lanigan, Jamie Deegan with him, you know, a great run. Were hit for two goals in the first half, killer blows really, but really recovered well and came back into it, led by Killian Langan, I suppose, you know, back from the States, and the likes of David Mulville and Conor Egan, Ben Sheehan, very impressive in the first half. Mm-hmm. But Douai rallied the troops again. It was tit for tat, mm-hmm, to be honest. And you know, I suppose their substitutes, they had an impact, and I suppose particularly Anthony Maher, you know, he while he might have been on the field for 10 or 12 minutes, he won a vital ball, he flicked another away, and he showed his experience.
And that's what it's about too, it's the club, it's the general coming back in that sense as well, and needing that 10 or 12 minutes experience. Can I go and ask you about the venue, okay? Because there's a lot of love out there for the venue, Listowel. It was fantastic, there was a big crowd there on the night. How important is it maybe to showcase a lot of these venues, particularly when there's two clubs from one district with each other?
I think it was a great move by the county board. Maybe some of the players or maybe the clubs involved might have liked to be in Ossinstack, mm-hmm, Park, you know, on a county final day. But like Saturday evening in there, I was in there early myself, and the crowd coming in, the banter, you know, the expectation, the derby, it's like an Arcari final.
Mm-hmm. And over 2,000 people.
Over 2,000, yeah. Art was buzzing, in fairness. No, stand was packed, and the game lived up to it. You know, we won't talk about the standard. Mm-hmm. It's the intention. City, you know, the never say die attitude, and the, you know, giving everything. Lads left everything they had on the field to play, and you know, well done to Douai. Tarbert will have other days, they're a very young team, and you know, they say you might have to lose one to win one, but this is the second one they've lost. Disappointing for them, but I've no doubt those guys will bounce back. What a transformation for Douai. Had a poor year last year by their own standards, but you know, they have a lot of good young lads coming through as well, and I suppose even, you know, Kieran Lucy around the middle of the field, he was very close to being man of the match, played really well. Cormac Dillon, when they needed him most, he kicked great scores. Ted Maloney, like, you know, the Kirby's, you know, the Kelly's, they were, mm-hmm, they gave everything, and we saw what it meant afterwards. Most people waited for the presentation, and it was some speech by Arne O'Connor, to be fair to him, but it shows what the small club and the rural club means, and the success, because it doesn't come around too often, and fair play to them. But to both teams and to both management teams, great game of football, and you know, the wash had it in the end.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about small clubs, of course, in North Kerry, Bally Longford, Alan Kennelly, of course, huge loss.
Yeah, look, Alan Kennelly is an icon in football in North Kerry. I played under when he was chairman there in my early days, but he was a player, an administrator, a man that was respected all over the county and indeed all over the country. Did so much for a lot of people that has gone unknown, but he was a real Bally Longford man, or Bally man as they call it, a real, you know, proud man for the blue and white, and look to the family and to the Bally Longford club on behalf of all the Gaelic Wales and Kerry our deepest sympathies and the passing of another great.
Yeah, Irish Dagger, Ellen Kennelly, Benny Longford, fantastic. Of course, a quick throwback to your duo. There was one team that didn't beat in the championship this year. Oh, look at the two boys.
Was it your team, St. Michael's?
St. Michael's, Filemore, absolutely. Yeah. We left and get the draw that day.
Draw, yeah, well,
big congratulations to draw, fantastic.
And little Bertie told us they won the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about district championships. We're hardly allowed to play them, never mind talk about them. Let's get on to, I suppose, the other big main dish of the weekend, of course. And, of course, we know the two teams now going to the Bishop Moynihan Cup this year, Dingle, of course, and Dr. Crokes. A surprise and maybe not a surprise with Dingle either. Both of you last week, of course, didn't give Dingle any chance. If I was here now, I'd have tipped Dingle. But let's talk about Dr. Crokes getting there first of all. Andrew, the game.
Yeah, the Crokes turn rolls on. They're back into the county final. And I suppose I kind of mentioned Micheál Burns when he spoke with TG Carr after the club final. And he said that the Bishop Moynihan was their main goal. And I think it's hard to see him being stopped now. No one has. I mean, we kind of talk about all the teams they've come up against in terms of they might rattle them. Rathmore, Mid-Kerry, Brendan's, Dingle in the club final, Kinmare. Crokes have beat them all. And it's just a great sign of them. The first half seemed early on that Crokes were going for the kill because they dominated Brendan's. They had a 5 points to one lead after the first quarter, and they pushed that out to 8 points to two after 23 minutes. Brian Looney for them was just timeless. Micheál Burns was getting points from all angles, and David Shaw, he's really finding form as we head deep into the championship. Brendan, somehow they found themselves just 3 points down at the break, but Jack Savage, Tomás Kennedy got a brace, really pushed them back into the game. The second half mightn't have been the most comfortable for Pat O'Shea and his management, but they were able to keep Brendan's at bay. I think it was the closest they got was 2 points in the end, Brendan's, and it was looking like they could have done with their marquee men and Barry John and Tommy Walsh. That would have made an impact because they might have been depending a bit too much on their youth in the forwards, which I think they're fantastic, but maybe they could have done with a bit more depth there. And Tony Broston, he was being closely watched by his Kerry colleague Dylan Casey all day. I have to give credit to Dylan Casey. I think he did a great job all day on Tony, who's been a star for Crokes all year. Brendan's continued to fight. Doughty Griffin, Kennedy and Savage, I mentioned them already, leading the four in the second half, but the black card for Savage in the 48th minute probably was a big turning point. It probably killed the momentum. Crokes outscored them 3-1 after that, and they won by 5 points. And a final mention, I suppose, the two Loonies, it's hard to pick between them. From the match, Evan and Brian, I thought both fantastic, especially Brian. He kicked the final point, and it was probably deservedly that he kicked the final score because I thought he was brilliant all day. I suppose, depending on permutations, it was probably a start of something big for Brendan's. They could be back next year and stronger, and Crokes would be right in saying that they probably should have had a more convincing lead throughout, but that's stuff to work on now for the final.
Of course, Brendan's will be looking at the intermediate championship now and seeing we'll lost in sex move up. I suppose Mid-Kerry the same as well. Come here, Liam Broston, you're a fully signed up member of the Dr. Crokes Appreciation Club. Backed him from the start, pet shake and walk on water and the whole lot. 6 points to one, they were flying ahead. I mean, the first 18 minutes was real vintage Crokes. It was what you expect.
Managed as well, yeah.
Gavin O'Shea on the ball, really lively, you know, running off the ball. They kind of closed down a small bit. What happened there?
They did, and I suppose getting back to what Andrew said, I think at the start when Brendan's lost Tommy Welsh and Barrier before any ball was kicked, was a huge loss to him. That bit of experience, a bit of power up front, like they came on with the four young lads in up front. But yeah, Crokes, you know, it looked like a game that they were just cruising through, and they were managing it very well. But I don't think Pat Shea would be happy with their performance. Mm-hmm. Scoring wise, they missed a lot. No, not like Crokes, very very on Crokes like, and they left St. Brendan's in the game, because if Michael Tansley hit that 45 that's they would have brought it to a point. It would have asked a lot of questions, and it's just that Brendan's were always within touching distance, and I think that if with Dingle, if they do that in the final with Dingle, they'll be worried. Mm-hmm. No, but they saw out the game, but it wasn't a vintage Crokes performance. But like Tony Broston and Dylan Casey, a fantastic battle. No, Dylan did very well in him, held him well, but Tony still kicked five actually very good frees. No, there were a couple of them from distance. David Shaw still doing his bit there. They still dug out an old victory. That's the one thing with Crokes. No, not playing well, dug out a victory. Like I said, I don't think the management would be happy with the performance, and there'll be a lot of work done between here and two weeks' time.
Tomás Kindi, I thought in particular, asked an awful lot of questions of Dr. Crokes, particularly under the high ball, which
he's height, yeah.
While I suppose in the second half they moved David Moore into the square, I suppose he kept Gavin White from stopping his runs up the field as well, which maybe might have been a tactic to push him back. The ball wasn't good enough though coming in for the likes of David Moore to kind of win primary possession.
No, and like when David was getting the ball in, they were swarming around him. No, whereas if David could have been outside, maybe Tommy Welch and Barry John inside, so that little bit of experience and a bit of guile in there, it might have been different. But no, Crokes, and I think what's worrying for Crokes, I suppose, is Charlie Keating's injury.
Yep.
It looked like that it was the hamstring, and yeah, he was barely able to walk off, so you would wonder how can we get that right in 2 weeks. So he'll be a huge loss if he's going to be missing. But overall, a lot of work to be done. Crokes will be happy in a county final. They would have taken it at the start of the game. They would have taken it at the start of the year. They're going for a treble. No, 14 points, no goals. No, so they'll be heads down now for the next week and a half. There'll be a lot of work, a lot of tactics done for this county final.
You're still backing Crokes, are you?
Just about. But on form, Dingle would if you were going on a team on form, you'd have to give it to Dingle.
Mm. Everybody thought Crokes were going to win, John. They delivered, they won. They won without being fantastic, though, did they?
Yeah, there's another gear in them, I think, Donald. You know, is it that they didn't play to their potential, or that they weren't allowed? You know, there was a lot of battles around the field. The first half they dictated the game. They played on their terms. They won't be happy with some of their shooting, to be honest, you know. And Brendan's allowed them a lot of space. They played a lot of ball around the middle of the field, and you can't allow Crokes that, because that's what they're thriving, you know. But look, they're experienced campaigners. The thing about the Crokes is, and a lot of good teams, if one or two of the marquee fellas are marked, there's one or two more to come up. And that's the way they have been all year. Tony Brosson, by his own standards, the last night hadn't the influence that he's had in other games because of the influence of Dylan Casey on the other side. But Brian Looney, like, you know, we've spoken about him here how many times, Liam, and
Michal Burns pops Michal up Burns, at vital yeah. times of the game as well. Yeah. Yeah,
Gavin O'Shea, like Gavin White, these guys had huge influence. Like you said, Donald, I think when David went into the verge of the square, it took the attacking threat away from the Crokes, and that's a big thing for Gavin going forward. But obviously they were conscious of the aerial battle, and that's why they came back there.
It's a place, Liam, that we've been saying years and years and years, the Crokes are vulnerable under the high ball. Oh, they don't have the full backs that can catch the ball. We go back to Mike Mahoney, Simon, the whole lot. They always manage to get away with it or get out of it, or they never seem to expose themselves for all the threat that's there and the whole lot. Will Dingle bring an aerial threat to them?
Most teams are vulnerable under a high ball, because it's kind of a 50-50, and it depends what kind of a nudge you get or whatever. But like we said, Crokes always seem to get away with it because it's just the cuteness and the coaching. Like we said it last week, you know, everyone has a role. If the ball's going down, like I said, the ball's going down the right hand side of the field, it's the movement on the left hand side of the field is the one to watch, because they're constantly falling into different positions. You know, they're giving the ball to the best man in the right position. And if I've seen it again the weekend, that there was one or two fellas who gave a great pass in, but they were still told that it wasn't the right thing to do. You know, that kind of a way. No, in a way that don't do it the next time.
Yeah,
you know, so it's they have high standards, and I think that's why they're probably one of the best clubs in Kerry at the moment, which they are, and probably Munster. But it's going to make it very interesting over the weekend. We're going for around 2 weeks' time. We're going for Munster champion, or heading for the Munster campaign and Kerry champions. Who's going to be going for it?
Fair play to you. You're just sporting your Crokes jacket on you as well. And so the second game. It may have come as a shock, but in reality it shouldn't be a shock. I mean, East Kerry all year were kind of maybe doing enough staying ahead. Dingle have a lot of history with them, and in the end Dingle just had enough legs too.
Yeah, I suppose, as you say, like, Dingle are a quality club, and it was an upset, but to be fair to Dingle, they deserved the win yesterday. I suppose, looking at the game itself, there was the matchups were very interesting. You had Tom Sullivan on David, you had Tom Leo on Paddy Clifford, Keane Lynch was picking up Dylan Ganey, Dan O'Brien was on on Paul Gainey and Chris O'Leary on Kyle Bembry. Very interesting matchup. So I was kind of watching them all day because marquee forwards, marquee defenders. Plenty of shots dropped in the opening quarter from both teams. I think four counted. East Kerry got the early scores. They kicked open a 3-point lead, but Dingle brought it back to a point before they got their goal in the 22nd minute. Tom Leo O'Sullivan, his second goal of County Championship, he robbed the ball in the air inside and he finished it past Brian Kelly. It was a lovely lofted ball from Dylan Gainey. I think I was really impressed by the substitute who started, Bambury. He was causing all sorts of trouble for the East Kerry defence in the first half. But there was a sense to me that Dingle should have seized the initiative, maybe. They might have came back to bite him. They eventually won, obviously, but they had two wides, one off the post, and two shots dropped short in the first half. East Kerry, meanwhile, they looked a bit desperate and a bit shook, unusual wides from their marquee forwards. Dingle had a 1-point lead at the half time break. I suppose the second half really kicked off. 7 minutes in, David Clifford got a goal for East Kerry. It was a free quickly taken by Luke Crowley. He found Clifford inside the 13. David dummy passed the man.
He'd done a lot of work with that free, Luke Crowley. I mean, most players would have put it down, taking it, but I mean, he had the vision straight away.
It was brilliant. It was a great sign, and he saw the vision. And I suppose if you have David Clifford inside one on one, ready to take the shot, you have to. It's a no brainer, and he had the intelligence to leave the ball into him.
But it didn't finish Dingle. I mean, at that stage, there were, was it 1-7 to 1-3 down, but it was all Dingle after that. Particularly, I had put Dylan Gainey nearly.
Yeah, and his cousin Paul getting the goal a couple of minutes before it, a period of Dylan Gainey dominance. Paul getting a goal to bring Dingle right back into the game, and then, as you said, it was all about Dylan Gainey. Then he kicked in three next scores, all superb points, and just supreme leadership at a young age from him to fire Dingle 3 points clear. They didn't die to East Kerry, and they got two frees, and Ronan Buckley fired them level at 54 minutes. I think Dingle would have been annoyed at how they let that lead slip, saying it's the opportunity gone. And then even further then, East Kerry got a penalty in the 60th minute. Emmett O'Shea make a big impact. It was a lovely pass into Ronan Buckley. David Clifford steps up, but Gavin Curran heroics, he saved the penalty, gets the right way, and it was a brilliant save, to be fair to Gavin. The debate will go on now for a while whether David should have maybe went for the point or the goal, but hindsight, I suppose, is great in those scenarios.
I think he was always going to go for the goals. Yeah. I mean, he's a marquee player. He's a player that takes on the responsibility. I mean, his head was going to the back of the net.
Yep.
Fantastic save. The 45 to come, though, after that, I mean, it still wasn't over and done with.
No, it wasn't over and done with. And yeah, that's another, I suppose, opportunity of what could have, should have been. And even as you go down the field, it didn't matter. And Dylan Gainey had a shot to maybe win the game as well. So fine margins, I think. Gerry O'Sullivan said that after the game, was a game of fine margins. And
there was nothing fine about the extra time.
No,
though.
Nothing.
I mean, Dingle owned it, didn't they?
Dingle owned it. 7 points to two, they'll score them in extra time. Paul Gainey starring really for me in extra time. He got 2 points early on. I think what killed East Kerry was in the first half. They had five turnovers in the final third, and they seemed a bit kind of out of ideas really of what to do. Dingle looked very settled. They had the lead back to three at half time. The question was, could they hang on again? And Dylan Gainey, the man of the match for me really, he got the final score. Dingle won by five. I suppose a 7 point loss to Crokes in the club final a couple of weeks ago. They beat him in the group stage early on. These sides know each other very well. I think the last time the club final and the county final was the same was actually Dingle and Crokes in 2018. So there's a bit of a rivalry forming there. Maybe it's already there. So it's a really tasty final in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely, a super final. John Kennedy, you often see it in games, you know, that there's nothing between them. But then in extra time, one team just wipes the floor, basically, of their team. Why did East Kerry disappear?
It's a good question, Donald, and if you were asked at half time or at normal time before the extra time, you'd say it was an advantage East Kerry because of the strength and depth of their squad. But we've said this for the last couple of years about Dingle. They're a really resilient bunch, well organised, and a great management team with them, competing, unlucky not to get over the line in a few occasions, but you have to say the Gainey factor, like it's you know, Paul has been the player of the championship throughout so far, but Dylan the last day, like when it needed it most, and then Tom O'Sullivan. Tom coming back is, he's rejuvenated.
Yeah.
I suppose if he were to get an injury at the right time, or is there any right time to get an injury? But Tom is coming back, he's bouncing. Yeah.
He's coming back at the right time.
He's coming
anyway.
Back at the right time, and the team are responding, and it was an emphatic victory in the end. You know, a lot of the debate today is about the penalty, but it is overshadowing the extra time performance by Dingle. Outstanding to the man, and West Kerry were hanging on, being honest.
They did have that look about him, East Kerry hanging on, and I suppose there's people today maybe querying, you know, maybe how strong is their bench and how strong is the thing. But don't take anything away from Dingle. I mean, this was one of Dingle's finest hours, and they've had a lot of fine hours.
Fantastic team performance, like.
Yeah. You know, and then it goes back to the Guineas and the whole lot. But talk to me about Barry then, because I think, you know, when they got the belt in the head,
that was a bad belt.
He really came into it.
He did, yeah. And not only Barry then, his partner next
to
Billy
O'Connor, yeah.
They were outstanding. Look, I would say, and a lot of people coming away after talking, the Warriors. Mm-hmm. That's what they were. They were, because they went after the ball that they shouldn't have gone after yesterday. They tracked down stuff. No, people be often questioning how good of footballers are they. But by God, they showed it in spades yesterday. No, they never say die spirit. Tom Lee O'Sullivan, another fella. I know the Gainies get all the plaudits, no, most of the time. No, Matthew Flaherty, Carl Banbury. Yeah. No, these fellas, no, they were excellent. Mm. A man who's going to be a kind of a last time their full back. Connor, you know, he picked up an injury, came out at half time. We didn't see him going in injured, mm-hmm. but he came out. You could see he was badly hobbling. So he's another one. Just, you know, that will there be a question about for 2 weeks' time? But it was a team performance. You know, Gavin H came along then and saved the Pilty, which, you know, I suppose it's the elephant in the room. What do you do?
What would you do?
To be honest, to be very honest, he should have put it over the bar. You know, as it's not a county league match. You know, it's a county championship semi-final. 1 minute to go. You know, tap it over the bar. Win the kick out. Mind the ball. You know, it's. I know it's an easy thing to stay when we're sitting down and looking in. It happened to us in '97 with Glenfleisk in the Dunne Cup final.
He didn't put it over the bar at all.
Yeah, and his excuse after is he didn't want to go train the following week.
Which was a great excuse.
And it was, yeah.
And
that was different. We were up a pint at that stage, and Paul Dunne, who hit the back of John Crowley, was pulled down, and Paul hit the back of the net. You know, but it's a big chance. County semi-final, tapped the ball over the bar. But that's something David will learn. It's like a golfer. You're winning the Open coming up. You don't go for a hole-in-one. You put it on the green, you tap it in, and you take a win. You know, so I think David will learn from it. No, you could see there was hurt there, but there's still a chance to win it after. You know, there's still but you can't take it away from Dingle. Dingle were excellent yesterday.
I suppose, Liam, it was a great penalty kick, which was an excellent save.
Great save.
Fair. Yeah. Got to give the goalkeepers no credit in this.
Oh, great save.
Super save.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Donal, we'll give a big shout out to our neighbours across the border in Knocknagree, who qualified, of course, for the Senior A County Final in Cork. What an incredible manager John Fintan Daly is, and he most certainly is that. I had plenty of good chats with him there at the start of the year. And his coach, of course, is, well, Kilcommon's John Dwyer, from a very rich heritage, of course, of football there as well. That's Kieran N. Ratmore, with one eye on his neighbours down the road, not too far down the road. A couple of comments in, they're kind of all varied all over the place, to be fair. Donal, East Kerry looked like a club outfit that had been on the road for a lot of time. I suppose, yeah, maybe they are, but then again, I suppose they have been in, what, five of the last six? Yeah. They've been there and thereabouts. St. Brendan's deserve a lot of praise for what they've done. They were losing 6 points to one, and they showed a lot of guts pushing the Crokes so close to the end. Yeah, absolutely no doubt about that. The quality of the ball heading towards the young forwards for St. Brendan's was really poor. Okay, so that's that one. Donal, Dr. Crokes were very impressive the last night. They're able to get their kickouts and restarts off quickly, and their attacks get underway a lot faster than other teams. And then there's two biggies. What's the panel's view? That's always a bad sign, isn't it? The panel's view. We'll one of you can answer it. On the amount of cynical play by East Kerry players on Tom O'Sullivan throughout the game, pulling him to the ground on countless occasions. There you go, Liam.
Well, I suppose, yeah, there was a few times when I was looking out, all right, I seen it happen. But look, that's going to happen when you have county players. And
I presume, you know, the thought process behind it...
They were stopping his run.
They were stopping the run.
Without the ball.
Without the ball, getting him up and
getting bodies in front of him.
And it did.
It got the crowd going, it got the Dingle sideline going, it got everyone going. And I'm sure, you know, I know they were all roaring at the fourth official, but they're all wired up now. And Brendan Griffin probably was told about it and probably said it to the players without making a big hullabaloo about it. Yeah. He probably did say, look lads, I'm warning, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, it's but it you know what, it added to the excitement of it though.
Yeah,
it did, because it got,
well, it made a championship feel,
and there was a bit of an edge about it as well. Yeah. There was a bit of an edge,
probably gave Dingle the extra 15% to go on,
yeah,
maybe, if he didn't have
a bit of voice.
John Kennedy, a different one, left of field. Respect for Aran Navian, here we go. Okay, this is a big one for you. St. Brendan's broke far too early. and I was disappointed to see this as a St. Brendan supporter. Maybe the time has come to stop playing it all together at games and just leave it for finals. In the second game, none of the Dingle players stood still once, and the East Kerry team were halfway down the line ahead of the final of the Anthem. It was a bit passionate, the whole lot. Should we just leave it for county finals and be done with it? Because there's a lot on. I get the whole respecting and the lot, but I suppose it's players are getting to a stage where it's been played nearly in front of every game now for them.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lack of respect by any player, but look, you're in a county semi-final, a lot of pressure on.
Your head's in
your
head.
Position, yeah. You know, some fellas don't even know what part of the national anthem it is, I'd say. Yeah. To be fair, they're psyching themselves up, and you know, and that's what it's about. And as you say, maybe for the final it should be held. But just one thing on the referees, I think, that we had two great referees at the weekend, Seamus Mulburn and Brendan Griffin. And to be fair, when you don't hear any, even if they make mistakes, these are the guys at that level.
They get on the big calls, right?
They get the big calls, right?
When you say if they make mistakes, that means they did make mistakes.
I know, but they're human, to be fair. But I think that you had two of the best guys. They had the experience. Yeah. You know, they don't lose control. And like Liam said, they're wired up and they're helped. But to be fair, they get the big calls right most of the time.
And players are difficult to ref when you get to the semi-final. I mean, they're pushing you as much as they can. They're trying to get away with as much as they can.
I also think, Donald, with these refs, particularly Seamus and Brendan, they'll have a word with you. Or if you're on the line, I've been on the line, they're doing games, they'll have a word, zip it, you know. And
talking
and
to the players.
Correct,
like,
and just done then. And I think that's, the respect is both ways, to be fair.
Because if you start handing out yellow cards, willy-lilly, it can turn the game very kind of messy.
Mm-hmm. You lose control and it builds up in the heap. Right, another gang that are trying to wrest back control, of course, last Thursday saw the 12-strong FRC, the Football Rules Committee. John Kennedy, you're not in that committee, no? You're on every other committee known to man, but you didn't make that one.
Thanks for the guys.
And of course, they briefed the media in the GAA headquarters, of course, ahead of this week's Interprovincial Series, which is coming back now. And everybody's going to watch the Railway Cup now because the whole new rules are in. And I suppose for the first time they kind of introduced their 7 core rules. I mean, there's lots of changes in the whole lot, but they kind of core them. And if you're watching anything on social media, you'll see Jim Gavin and he's talking to him, Fitzmaurice is on, and it's kind of adding a bit of interest again, and people are talking about whether we need them or whether we don't need them. But this is the first time, John, that we're beginning to see them, and I suppose by the fact that we have a game where it's going to be new rules, people are going to watch it and watch it in big things. So we decided this evening that we take a look at some of the new rules. Andrew, of course, went out. And of course, I think we're sending you off to Dublin the weekend, are we?
Heading up to Croker.
Croker, and he's going there and watch all the new rules and the whole lot. So we can explain them there to Ambrose and Tim there next January.
don't ask them the way they go in, because they go in a different way every time.
Sometimes they don't even come out of court. Come here, we start the game. The one versus one throw-in. It's one of the new ones. We'll go through as many as we can, and the boys can throw a bit of light or a bit of whether they're needed or not, or whether they're all that. But the 1v1 throw-in to start off with.
Yeah, so when the game kicks off, when the ball's thrown in, and for the second half, only two midfielders, one on each side, can go up for the throw-in, so it's a 1v1. The other two midfielders must remain on the sideline till the ball's thrown in, and then they can enter the play on opposite sidelines. They run in then. I'm kind of looking at that in a positive way. I think if you're looking at rules that are nearly shoo-ins to stay, I think this is the one, because we look at every game, there's just a big scramble in the middle of the field, and there's just unnecessary schmozzle in the middle of the field. You know, you don't need any of it, and I think it'll be a welcome rule, and it'll get rid of a lot of just needless stuff before a game, and it might make the game a bit quicker as well. You know, you have less players in front of you ready to kick a ball in straight into the field. I think these rules are all set to try and make the game a bit more positive, and I think this is positive.
One man versus one man, Liam, in the middle of the field, and the other fellas will have to stand on the sideline. Now, it'll become very obvious after a while what kind of midfielder you are if you're not put in for the job.
And the fellas on the sideline will be held by a supporter in Corrar de Waa or someplace.
The selector will have him by the elbow or something.
It's a rule it's a handy rule to govern anyway, and I don't think it's going to make a huge difference in the game.
It's
only two hot pots.
It's a fancier restart.
It's a fancier restart, yeah.
Okay. Kick-outs. Let's go to kick-outs.
Yep, players can now stay or inside the 20 metre arc for the kick-out, or they can enter it as long as they're not interfering inside the new 40 metre arc. The kick-outs must travel past the 40 metre arc. Just looking at that rule itself, I suppose it looks good. I mean, it can promote quicker kickouts. Mm-hmm. It can promote the ball going long. I suppose it has to travel past the 40 metre line, and it keeps players inside. So it keeps players inside, so you're able to send a quick ball. Let's say you win the opposition kickout, you're able to send a quick ball in.
John Kennedy, every field now will have to, I suppose, change the colour of their paint or move the thing around. So they're going to introduce a 40 metre arc, which you know, be fair, it makes sense. Players can hang out in behind the goalkeeper, forwards and backs. You can't interfere with the keeper. Okay, you can't walk across in front of him. And again, we're talking about the county
league division.
We're not supposed to. Exactly. I can imagine all the coaches out there tonight saying what we can and not supposed to. But in the theory of it, it's getting the ball away, and it must travel 40 metres. That's kind of welcome, is it?
Yeah, the biggest thing is the key one there is the ball has to go past the 40 metres. Yeah. That's the short kicks are gone. Mm-hmm. The rules that when we spoke about them ourselves, and everyone has a view on it, but I think it's to speed up the game, and it's to avoid the huge the amount of players inside in a certain area of the field, and this will eliminate that, because a 40 metre kick, you know, it stops when the short kick is gone. A kick outside the 13 metre line, you have a lot of bodies around. It means that there's a lot of bodily contact, fouls as a result, turnovers, and it makes that kind of like a melee, whereas this is going to avoid that. I think it's welcome.
Fair play, good stuff. Will it work, Liam?
I'll follow my verdict. Yeah, no, I do agree that the kick out, the going the distance will, but you will have all these gurus ready to break the like set down. Like, they're not going to mark fillers, you know, they're not going to, you know, like, the biggest thing for me is that we have too many bodies inside in one area, and I think that rule will come up in a second.
Yeah.
And I think all these rules is just adding more pressure to the referee.
Okay.
You know, it's just making it harder for him.
The goalkeeper. A lot of people talk about the goalkeeper and the fact that I saw Jim Gavin, of course, on about the goalkeeper, how the goalkeeper slows the play down by coming up the field and nobody will press, and that kind of leads to the delay and the whole lot. They're putting pressure on the goalkeeper now by really restricting what he can catch or how long he can be on the ball for as well, maybe.
They're basically trying to eliminate really the fly goalie tactic. That's
great.
I agree. I personally wasn't a big fan of that the last couple of years. Very, maybe traditionalist of me, but we all seem to agree here that that's one that should go. So the goalkeeper can only receive the ball inside the large rectangle, the new rectangle, and the player passing must be inside the large rectangle too, so probably rarely will happen. And the goalkeeper can also only receive the ball beyond his 65 metre line, so he has to run up all the way past the halfway line to get the ball. And if the goalkeeper does get the ball not in those ways, it's a penalty, and the other team, not a penalty, but the other team gets a 13 yard free.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a positive one. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one works out on Saturday evening.
There'll be a lot of people able to kick a 13 yard free, I'd imagine, no matter what division you're in, and they'll be putting pressure on the keeper. So basically what we're trying to do is eliminate the keeper from having that contact. You're allowing
slowing down the back pass
in the rectangle, so I'd imagine there, maybe if you're under pressure and
something,
that's
going to be very limited.
It shows it back to you, and you're kind of in play as such. And then the keeper can the keeper progress once they have the ball?
Don't be asking
those questions.
He's just an ordinary player, then. He can progress.
But he can't take the
pass.
But if he passes it to you, he can't get it back.
Yeah, exactly. Unless
he's inside the halfway line.
Unless he runs 40 yards down the way, and you kick ahead to him and the whole lot.
So I don't mind that now, because that's you could see their point there, trying to speed up again. There's merit in that.
Right. One that has everybody talking, and we'll discuss it, and then we'll take a break there in about 2 minutes. Each team must keep 3 outfield players in each half at all times. Now that sounds really good, and it's understandable, and I get what it means, that at least you want to have 15
bodies.
People behind the ball. The most you can have is 11 behind the ball in that sense, and there's always 3, and if you're on a quick counter, the ball
I
can move up fairly quickly.
I presume that's 3 with your goalkeeper then. 4,
yes.
So that's 4 then,
Well, it's 7 but players altogether.
7
altogether,
right, okay.
Yeah, 3 marking, yeah. 3, so and then
2 marking, 3,
and then be marked, exactly,
and then the keeper, unless the keeper's down the 65 yard line, and it's which he can go there as well. the reason for this, Liam, what?
Well, basically, it's trying to open up space. We want to see an exciting one-on-one game of football, and I think this is the big rule for me. You know, from the start, this is the one I was kind of preaching about. But because what we want to see, we're all about hurling. You know, how hurling has gone so good. It's all one-on-one stuff. Like, we'd like to see the likes of David Clifford, the Tony Brastons, and all these footballers get one-on-one play. But at the moment, they can't because there's four and five around them. Whereas this will help. This will definitely help. Now, there'll be less bodies inside the defence.
So you're pro forward, obviously, after that. John Kennedy, this will bring back the Mark O'Shea type players as well, will it? Because now, all of a sudden, if you're 3-on-3, you need three tight markers.
You do. I think this is every man on the street, we're looking for something like this. You have so many players above, and I think three is the minimum you can have, really. It'll mean there's more space, but like what you said, if your marquee forward is inside, you need a great back on him, man to man. And you haven't the comfort of having extra bodies back, so it's individual battles, and the advantage in this, I think, is with the forward. Mm-hmm. If there's a good quality ball going in, it's advantage forwards.
I think as well, it will kind of show now, because in the last couple of years people say, oh, he pocketed him in the game, or he was anonymous, but the defensive systems have kind of, it's hard to distinguish whether a player is quiet because a player marked him out of it, or because there's 20 players inside the 13 yards and he can't get on to
the
ball.
And it's also going to give a good back a time to shine, because I suppose a lot of good backs out there, when you're particularly picking all stars, you're saying, well, sure, look, there was a fella in front of him, and a fella behind him, and a fella helping him. So it kind of takes away his skill of being a defender.
And you'll hear less of, where's my cover? Yeah. Now that's the thing you're offering here. Where's my cover?
There'll all be forwards, there'll be no backs. We'll take a quick break, and after the break, we continue with more of the rules.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Keep your comments coming in there to Terrace Talk, 0667123666 or 0833003300. Mike, in contact. East Kerry did very well over the last 6 years, 4 county championships. Absolutely, Mike, nothing to be sniffed at. Fantastic stuff, and still a very good team. We will be back, is what Mike says. Caller asks, why is Mark O'Connor not playing for Dingle? He saw he was at home yesterday. I suppose he was doing such a great job as water boy, I suppose.
Boys were doing such a good job in the field.
There was no need for him. But again, it's a possibility, isn't it?
It's a possibility, but I think he's injured.
Okay.
I think I read somewhere before he came home that he got picked up an injury over with Geelong.
Tuesday night, he'll be back in Dingle, in the heart of them all. I'll ask him that.
You'll ask him that, yeah.
Liam Brosson wants to know how injured Mark O'Connor is.
No, just don't say Liam Brosson. Just have a look at Mark O'Connor and see if he's running around the best.
Good evening, lads. I suppose the Crokes will be in the final now. This is Larry. Larry's having a bit of a bit of irony here. They're experts at pass the parcel game. Sure, they're at it for over 40 years now. Well done, Larry. Fair play to you. I don't know whether he's a Crokes fan or not. Let's go back to the rules. And Sean De Bruin raises a good point. He said, in light of concern about refereeing, I think some of the proposed changes will have implications for the quality of refereeing, especially at club level. Keeping an eye on keeping three players back will be another headache for a referee, and another reason to criticise referees. I can see this going wrong all over the place. 3 versus 3, 2 will be outside, the line will be shouting that he crossed over, the ref will turn around, he wondered if he was in or out. But then there's huge penalties going to this based on what the referee will decide.
On that, I was listening to Jim Gavin's speech, and there's different penalties for different ways you break the rule.
Yeah.
But I think one is if you accidentally cross the line, it's a free
and
halfway line.
Which every person will do.
Well, it'll be all accidental. But if you deliberately cross it,
How is a referee
I go up to the referee and say, sorry ref, is that it? After I'm making a bust up the field to stop John Kennedy from going.
How's your define deliberately?
It is. These rules are going to be very hard for club. No. Yeah. Inter-county is going to be okay because they'll have the bodies on the sideline, they'll have the cameras, they'll have all this, but at club level it will be. That's why I'm saying, no, one or two small changes could have done this. No. The thing with the body is behind it. Like if I'm training a team and I see John Kennedy's team doing that, I'm going to be roaring at the ref, so the ref is going to be watching it. Mm-hmm. So that's what will happen. What it's going to create is more people roaring at the ref. Mm-hmm. That kind of
absolutely.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah,
there's going to be more noise and more sound. Yeah. The new rule of 4 points for a goal is totally wrong. Imagine a team getting 2 goals. That means 8 points. That creates a huge amount between the teams. A lot to try and win back. Drop that. The point is well made. I mean, teams now will just go for goals, won't they? I mean, like, you get 3 goals, you have 12 points. I mean, that's a lot of tipping.
That's a big score.
Yeah.
And I presume, obviously, this is under 15, and this is minor, and this is junior B, and this is everything. So all of a sudden, you're going to have 3 versus 3, and you're going to have some forward scoring 6 goals, which is fair enough. I mean, it's part of the game. It's going to encourage the scoring part. Are we ready in the GA to see score lines of 6-3 to 9-5 and calculators?
Yeah, well, you see, like we said before in the comment before, at club level is the big thing.
Yeah.
No, we'll get away with it at inter-county level, and probably get away with it at senior county championship and club county and club championship, because you're going to have the bodies to give. But like at club level, like you are going to see high scoring matches.
But I agree with Liam Donald there. Look, I mean, we all know there's problems in the game. The swarm defence is the biggest problem we
just
have.
The numbers.
Short kick numbers. Out and the bodies around, and that's bringing contact into it. Like a few tweaks, nothing against a high profile committee, but they're after coming up with a fantastic presentation of a huge amount of rules. And it's okay in Croke Park, it's okay in provincial finals, but you come back to a Division 5 or 6 county league game where you have a referee, no linesman, no umpires.
You're begging for umpires.
That's the reality of football.
For a line in the field. Yeah. Was it a two marker? Was it a
exactly? Yeah. You know, no, you have to be realistic about it. Like
measures line. But look, there's a new change. We won't shoot them. The 4 points, obviously. Look, I mean, that's it. I would have thought myself like 3 versus 3 would have encouraged more goals anyway. But it's something that's gone over again.
Trying to encourage goals
with the 4. PJ, of course, jumps back in on the national anthem. Getting rid of the national anthem is getting rid of another tradition. It's the warm ups that are the problems. Donal, teams are going out warming up. Back in, back out for another little warm-up. It should be one out and that's it. That's PJ. Hi, Donal. Welcome back. Hopefully the new rules will help, but there are a lot of changes to bring in all at once. That's Charles. Good evening to you, Charles. And lads, the 1v1 is grand, but why not let the second midfielder go to the opposition square when the game starts? There should be 15 players on each team of the field. It does look a bit mad that they're moving them in that particular off the field completely. Like, I mean, as I said, I mean, obviously there'll be 1-9 who's going to be, I know, 6'4", and he's going to be jumping high for every ball, and then the other player, as you said, if he gets into the field, maybe in 2 minutes. On to the next one. The advance mark.
Yeah, the advance mark. So, as it says here, allowed when a player catches the ball cleanly on or inside the 20-metre line from a kick-in play, has to be delivered by an attacking player on or before the opposing team's 45-metre line, and the player may play on immediately until no advantage is accrued, where a free kick will be taken for the position of the original mark, or the player may avail of the mark by raising an arm upright.
This is surely a good one.
Yep.
I mean, you go up, you win your mark, you solo and go, you kick it wide, you come back, you get your free, back the net, you've got the advantage for the high catch, and off you go.
The key one there is the 20-metre line, I think.
But what happens if I catch it and go and I pass it to you and you miss? Do I still get my mark?
Still advantage.
A better
advantage,
I'd imagine.
We're like
better ring him if it's Morris there.
They should have got rid of the mark altogether.
Yeah,
get rid of that rule.
You never liked the mark, did you?
No, because if you catch it inside the 21-yard line, there should already be one thing in your head anyway, and that's go for goal.
You know,
take your man on and go for goal. This is very hard on the defender,
Liam, because you never scored many points. John Kennedy, if you got 2 points for every kick outside the 40 yards, would you have more points scored, or would you have any extra points scored?
I'd have more points scored.
You'd have more scored. Yes.
Wait,
like, there's nothing worse now to see a forward get the ball or catch a great ball, next thing put up the hand, and next thing everything slows down. Like, get rid of the mark altogether, because I think this is going to be the same now.
Well, there's no point talking about that, because that's not on the agenda.
But
not getting rid of the mark.
No,
it's
getting rid of this fella just outside the 45, a little punt kick into the chest.
Yes,
that's not a mark.
And you're promoting the guy with the ball to go.
Whereas you're giving it from outside
advantage.
The 45 inside the 20, and you'll be invariably catching over your head anyway.
The 40-metre mark, 2 points awarded for a kick on. You're going to have the referee giving out now again, on or outside. So you're going to have something standing on the line, or his 2 feet, or maybe a couple more metres from it, that splits the post. It's a reward for long kicking. So some people are very good at it. It's a skill that's kind of, I suppose, it's died a death a small bit in certain counties and certain clubs and the whole lot, and they're not promoting the kick pass and the long kick. 2 points. Would there be a lot of people taking it on?
I think there will. The problem I can see here is on or outside.
Yeah,
that's where the problem is going to be. You know, because look, you have to administer that again outside in the field. Like, and how you're going to do it? We've one man refereeing. Is he outside the 45? Yeah. Is he on it? Or where is he?
So the referee is going to be watching John Kennedy as he got kicked it from outside the 45. Yeah. The ball drops short and the full forward is level inside. The referee's outside. Yeah. Now, you can see a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, yeah. There will be. Andrew, the 50-metre penalty, what's that?
Yeah, so for dissent or stopping up the play, I suppose, as you call it, kind of cynical fouling, a ball taken up 50 metres up the field, and more than likely you're getting a 13-yard free if you're that close to the goal. I can see that as being positive. It should get rid of...
It's some punishment, John Kennedy, isn't it? A 50-metre field. Like, the length of a field is 130 metres. 50 metres is going to carry it a long way. The ref is going to be fairly busy up and down the field with 50 metres. But it is for tactical foul delaying, yeah. And we kind of know when that happens. That happens in the last minutes of injury time, you know, when you don't want a fella to get up the field fairly lively and the whole lot. And even if it cuts that out,
keep
the game cleaner.
I think it's good, and I'll be honest with you, Donal. I saw that years ago, and I started off two great refs in our Kerry, James Chassie Cronin and Larry McCaffrey. If there was any dissent, pick it up. And they'd run with it and they'd put it down, and I'm not being smart, and I'll tell you what, that was the end of the lip, be fair. But I think it's a good thing. You have to punish dissent, and the only way to punish it is it's going to hurt on the scoreboard.
And as well, if a free is conceded outside the 40 metre arc, but let's say dissent, you might bring the ball up the field, it's worth 2 points still. So if you're taking a 13 yard free, that's still worth 2 points.
Yeah. So I think cut you off.
If someone is giving out to the referee, he can put the ball in, you give her 21-yard free and it's 2 points. Yeah.
The next one I like, and it's something that happens all the time as well. A player who commits a foul must hand the ball to a member of the other team in a prompt and respectful manner. Now, we've all been there, okay?
That always happens.
You've been fouled. Or maybe you're fouling so full and you don't want him to get possession of the ball, obviously, and you either kick it into the terrace or you
well, Matthew Flatty, he's hit the CIE train yesterday.
No, fair play.
So
they're still looking for the ball.
Robbie Kelleher gave it to Mikey Sheehy. That was the last time. 1978, it's a.
Yeah.
And he handed him in a prompt and respectful manner. Oh, poor old Cullen. Yeah, absolutely. Another one. The attacking player must be able to enter the small rectangle as soon as a free is taken. What's that one about?
It's a square ball, is it?
I suppose
clarifying the square ball.
Yeah, really much. Yeah, I suppose because there's a bit of, you know, people wondering what is the square ball rule, because there's always debate about it. It's probably just trying to put a bit of clarification on it, if anything. As I say again, it promotes more attacking, and looking forward to seeing it on Saturday.
Here's one that's in there somewhere. I don't know where it's still in there or where it's been dug off, because some of these I'd imagine disappeared as well. But there was a head and head, shoulder on head, and elbow on head, and all are now red cards. So we're going rugby style in a little sense, you know.
But there's nothing wrong with that, though.
A high tackle is
dangerous, to be fair.
Yeah, head on head, shoulder on head, elbow on head, all become red card offences.
It's a hard one for a referee, though.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, Barry Dan's one.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay if we have a camera, you can look at it.
Yeah.
But did he get him frontal? Did he get him side? Or not? Was it shoulder to shoulder? Yeah. No, it's,
and
it's.
We actually spoke about this off the air, Donald, Liam and myself. Yeah. If there's two guys going at pace and there's a tackle, if you're slightly off, it looks a terrible tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in actual fact, it might not be.
You went in with the intent.
To be fair.
You know, but it comes out. Contributing to melee, a black card offence is considered anything but a third or more player not removing a teammate away from the incident. So contributing to melee, a black card offence is considered anything but a third or more player not removing a teammate away from the instance. So you'd be now clearing all the teammates out.
There's some amount of rules here.
Absolutely. But sure, it'll be grand. Sure, Andrew's going up there.
He'll have it all.
Andrew, a 50 metre penalty for showing dissent to a referee's decision.
Yeah, as we mentioned that earlier, it should hopefully be more positive. We're always saying, "Oh, look at this again." Like, and it was kind of one maybe in the semi-final versus Armagh last year that I was kind of getting angry about. We were at times, there was a lot of these pullbacks or kind of getting in the referee's face on both sides.
Yeah,
So
this is the one, like the 50 metre for tactical fouling. We kind of understand you pull him down, you block him the whole lot. Now all of a sudden it's up and it's worth 2 points. But the 50 metre penalty for showing dissent at a referee's decision. So a referee makes a decision, you're not happy, you're in his face, you're roaring and shouting, and now all of a sudden it's a 50-metre penalty.
Yeah, something like the rugby. They're trying to bring a bit of respect into the referees. They don't want players running up to referees and in their faces. No.
But is it, has it been a problem in the county level?
I think the county level probably not.
I don't think so, to be fair.
Jeez, you don't go to a lot of inter-county games, do you?
You'd see not one, but in general, I don't think it's a serious problem.
It'll frighten the life out of them now, anyway. Listen, guys, we'll leave it there, OK? We have about another 10 or 15 to go through, but time has beaten us this evening. We will give you the week off next week. Because, like, inter-county players can't play at district, so I suppose we don't want to burn you out or anything. But we'll be back for the team, the championship, in 2 weeks' time. Quick word, you have 10 seconds. Dingler Crokes.
I'll still stick with the Crokes.
Yeah, I'll stay with Crokes, but Dingler the team on
fire. Dingler coming in hot.
Yeah. Andrew?
Crokes.
Jesus.
Crokes.
Wait, and I can't mention that I'd support Dingler. I wouldn't give a job tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes. After the break, we will be talking to some Kerry GA supporters about their social.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, I think we should talk rules every night on Terrace Talk, because the amount of texts are absolutely flying in. The boys are gone, but I have a couple of texts. I'll read a few of them out. The questions we'll hold on for next week or the week after, and I'll start with my favourite one, obviously. Dear God, Donald, hand him the ball. No. Drop the ball and walk away. Hand him the ball. You might as well wish him the best and ask him how he's taking his way home. Donald, take it. The comparisons with Sean Purcell and John Dowling are well and truly gone. That's Jim, of course, we were talking about high fielding and fine footballers there earlier on. Frank in North Kerry, Donal, one rule they did nothing about is the hand pass. Teams will still keep the ball. They will, Frank, absolutely. Hopefully they'll have to get rid of it a bit quicker, maybe. There should be no penalties in Gaelic football. If a match goes to extra time in a final, there should be a 45 metre line free taking to finish the game. Yeah, absolutely, why not, maybe. And good evening to all in Terrace Talk. Thank you for a superb presentation of the new rules. I love the idea of abolishing the short kickouts, but wonder if discretion can be applied where a team is playing against a Gael, meaning the goalie can't make the required distance. And that's Benjamin. Well, the next two men will certainly tell me whether a goalie can kick a ball 40 yards out against the wind. And delighted to be joined by Don Leary and John King, of course, the Kerry supporters, GA Club. And they're holding their annual social, of course, which takes place at the 27th of October, which is just kind of around the corner, a couple of weeks away. The bank holiday weekend. And Donny, it's the 33rd one.
Yeah, the 33rd social. We missed out in the COVID years. That's all we missed. We're still going strong with the help of God. We have a good crowd this year. We were slack a bit last year. We were down to 100, just over 100. And we're hoping to bring it back up to where it was this year with the help of God. We have three very, very, very good candidates that have went for guests of honour, with Donny O'Sullivan, Colm Cooper, and the Kerry hurling goalkeeper, ex-Kerry hurling goalkeeper, Johnny Conway. So they're all three guests, and hopefully that we get it all back to where it was before last year.
Yeah, three fellas that have great stories.
Huh?
Three fellas with great stories.
Great stories to tell, and all good speakers. The three, Donny's a great speaker, Colm's a great speaker, and Johnny Conway's a great speaker, and it'll be open to the floor. Martin Lean will be doing the interviewing, and it's open to the floor then for anyone that wants to ask any questions.
Yeah. I suppose Martin is celebrating tonight with Duaz, eh?
Well, I don't know where he is, but he's missing any.
He's over celebrating with Duaz.
Well, he's a big Duaz man, of course, but that's the plans, and yeah, for the social this year.
Yeah. So. John, I mean, how important is it to keep it going? Lots of clubs go through the whole social and they bring the people back once a year and the whole lot. But a Kerry GA one with people scattered all across Kerry, and it's a big enough county when you put buses out to put them in. But it's that one time of the year that everybody can kind of meet up and they're not rushing to a match or they're not worried about a ticket or anything, but they can kind of look back in the year and, you know, just have a nice social evening, a bit of crack and listen to three great speakers.
Yeah, that's the general plan of it. And this year, of course, you have the county final on the same day. So if you have a partner or a spouse, this is your weekend, bring him away for the weekend, book in, get a great deal in Ballygarry. And
you're trying to steal the Dingle supporters and, now, or the Croke supporters?
And we won't turn any of them away anyhow.
we'll of course, you have Colin Cooper, so I suppose.
We hope we'll keep him.
depending on the results, I suppose. Yeah. He'll either stay or go.
He'll
stay or go, and he's doing a lot of babysitting lately now as well, so if I might enjoy the night out himself as well. John, the year that's gone by, I mean, as a Kerry supporter, I suppose, you know, when we don't win the All-Ireland, we're kind of a bit gabronic at times and the whole lot, but you know, the show goes on, you have to run the bus, you have to keep the support up, and it's probably as crucial in a year that we don't get over the line as it is for a year that we do.
Yeah, I suppose it was disappointing coming back after the semi-final, all right. Anytime you lose, and the game was there to be won, really, and I suppose a lot of the supporters were down on the way home, but you meet any of them now, and looking forward to the first league game again.
Yeah,
and getting back in action.
It goes around quick enough, doesn't it?
Comes around very quick.
Yeah.
And we have four Northern teams away this year. Four Northern teams, so there'll probably be two trips up north, anyhow.
Yeah,
at least.
So the bus for the north again, Donny.
Pardon?
The bus heading north again.
Oh, they're all two-way trips always.
Yeah.
We hope Donegal are involved at Ballyshannon.
Yeah.
That's our big place in Donegal. We love going to Ballyshannon. We're treated like royalty up there.
Go on.
Oh, to the hilt in the hotel and in the bars downtown, and great crack there for the weekend in Ballyshannon. Yeah. Very, very good.
And why is that, Donny? Why, like some places?
I don't know, but there's a Kerry woman married in the hotel there.
Right.
And Jesus, the way we're looked after up there, it's unreal. The red carpet is outside, two buses parked in front of the hotel, red carpet in, and everyone is welcome at the door going there.
Oh, isn't it fantastic?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And of course, the bus journey, I mean, it's some bus journey from Killarney or wherever it is to the
take a break in Dublin and head off then and break again coming home, and the poutine.
Yeah.
We look forward to the poutine always coming home. That's our big stop.
Yeah.
And it's straight home then after that. There's no more stops.
Yeah.
So.
And John King, the supporters, I mean, we'll say they're north, south, east and west, but name some of the clubs or the towns or the villages that they'll come out of early in the morning from, maybe.
Well, we'd have Petty Towns coming up out of Valencia.
Oh, go on, yeah. The good Cases, supporter, Petty Towns.
Yeah, the Casey's from Port McGee.
Oh, yes.
We'll be on, and then you're going.
Do they give each other a lift up, or do they just drive by?
Whatever.
When the Valencia and Port McGee fellas mixing together in the same car.
No, they're all right.
But we have Donny hitting from Ratmore.
Yeah.
Then as you come in, we'll back to Bala. We'll have Dave Buckley with his guitar. And playing a bit of music up and down.
That passes the evening fairly quickly on the bus, does it?
Passes a lot of time, and then you're going out for North Kerry, out around my van, and we used to have a great contingent from my van, but age's caught up with a lot of them now, and things change, time moves on.
Time and tide wait for no one, of course.
Younger brigade coming in behind.
Yeah.
And of course then we would have people that would travel from maybe Cork, Dublin, they'd go by car, but they'd
meet a bover,
with us,
of course,
for the weekend. Yeah,
absolutely fantastic. Donny, not a big general discussion on football now, but I imagine football has changed from when you were supporters 33 years ago to what it is now.
Oh, it's changed altogether. My God almighty, you wouldn't recognise it at all now compared. I mean, it was man-to-man football, the time catch and kick. Best man won it and over the bar with it and that's it. But now it is sideways now. It is, you would think the goalposts were in the sidelines. It's over and back and over, and I know it's awful stuff altogether.
Yeah. Is it hard to get excited to support?
No, sure.
Yes, sir.
Coming home from the Donegal match, or from the the Donegal match was it. Coming home, there wasn't a word in the bus coming home. And there'd always be some tour in the bus about a referee or something. There'd be just an argument. And for about half an hour, and to die down then, and the crack would start, and where you'll go. But no, there's a pile of our supporters and going to any more matches.
Okay.
They've given it up altogether.
And you see that, John. I mean, a lot of supporters will say games over the weekend. Oh, there was a lot of people at the games this particular weekend, of course, in the County Championship. But it's hard maybe to track people in when they're not excited about maybe the product, we'll say, in this instance.
Yeah, but I suppose it's no fault of the players. They're playing the game as the rules apply. So I think it's probably all win at all costs, and it doesn't always work out with the way the game's going now, and a hand pass gone astray, whereas one time it was lobbed into the right, okay. forward line, every man fought his corner.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's over across the field, and it's whole possession.
Yeah. And as supporters, I mean, it's cast people look in, don't in, they say, oh, look, people don't understand what's happening. But obviously, you have a clear idea that's going across, you're holding possession, you're being patient and a whole lot. The game is being played within the rules, but you obviously want a bit more excitement, do you?
Well, I think one more man-to-man football in you, and two good midfielders out in the middle of the field, win their ball and plank it into the full forward line and let them win it inside, and that's it.
You want more Rhines, is it?
And more points from the half forward line.
Yeah.
It's a line. There's another thing there, like with the way the backs go up the field and trying the full forward line. It's very hard for a good forward like David Clifford or someone to get space if a back is bringing the full forward line back with him from the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all down the field. Something you wouldn't have done 30 years ago, follow some fellow down the field.
Well, the fellow wouldn't be able to get back. He
did. You only travelled up the field once. Come here, Donny. When's the big night?
The big night
is the 27th.
Sunday night, the 27th is the night of the county final, as John said. So,
and it's in Ballingarry, of course.
It is in Ballingarry, and we have Evrin again, our band, and starting at 8:15, and that's it. It's a we hope to God that we'll get a crowd this year again in here, because after last year, but Johnny Colity made it very plain to me after it last year. He said, who are you accommodating? He said, you're accommodating the middle-aged people. He said, you're not accommodating the teenagers. He said, in all the middle-aged people here tonight, he said, they're the crowd you're accommodating. He said, and they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to build in them now, and we're trying to get more of the people that we have taken all over the country, you know, year in, year out, trying to get those, see what they give us support this year.
Just one night out.
And there's special rates in all in Ballygarry for the night. And always Ballygarry, you know, there's top class grub. Everything is top class in Ballygarry. And we're there since the start. We never left. Yeah. And hopefully we'll stay there.
33 years in Pentamore.
Our guest last year, Finan McAsee, has gone on to
create
new records again.
Absolutely. Back to back.
And last year with Johnny Equality, and we had the man at the social who marked him in 1965 county final.
Oh.
Willie Welsh.
Wow.
From the Stacks. Yeah.
That must have been
and it was great to see the two of them sitting down having a big chat.
Oh, 1965, of course.
Or 69, I like.
Yeah, good stuff. Come here, is there a few more people you need to thank?
Well, we'll thank Padraig and Ellie Gary, who's very good to us. And of course, all the people who have contributed spot prices over the years. We can't forget them. They have been very good to us.
Plenty of them. They know who they are as well. Uh-huh. Well, listen, guys, I wish you the best luck. Donny, have you one quick more?
Just, John has the stats there. That's all of what they have won.
We'll have them on the night.
Oh, Jesus. Don't be giving away the good news, or they won't go. That's how it works, Donny. You know, they'll know what they win on the night. And Colin Cooper might have another medal or two. Sure, you never know. He might be number 30 of the Crocs team or something.
Yes, quite a lot of them at the moment.
He doesn't. He'll have a page on his own.
Uh-huh.
Listen, guys, the very best of luck. You're fantastic people. I mean, what you're keeping going isn't easy to keep going, Donny, to be fair. And you do, and you keep going year after year. And I suppose, you know, to think that you can bring two buses to Ballyshannon, put Kerry jerseys on them all, and create a buzz around
big
Ballyshannon.
Buzz in Ballyshannon.
Yeah, for the whole lot and other places. It's fantastic.
Up in Tyrone, we have great weekends in Tyrone too. Very good weekends in Tyrone.
Yeah, it's just up Ambrose there. Isn't allowed in Tyrone. Isn't it?
Even Derry, we had a few good weekends up in Derry as well. Derry's here.
Yeah.
People going along the walls of Derry.
Walk around, but Tyrone and Ballyshannon, they're the
fair play to you. What we might do is, before we get cracking in January, we might come back in some other night and maybe bring a couple more of yourselves
in. We'll bring Martin with us next night. He's not available tonight, so.
You're sure? I tell you, he's celebrating the Junior Cup.
Oh, that's
the Premier Junior this time next year. Come here, we'll take a quick break, and after a break, we will talk to the latest county champions. And I suppose it's a Southern Gales man. God, I might have to take a big deep breath. They're all outside there. But a massive congratulations to Castleline and Desmonds. Of course, they got the better of Southern Gales 3-14-1-9. What turned out to be a very one-sided final when the underdogs overturned the favourites, and we'll talk to him after a break.
Drive into 2025 with amazing Renault offers from Dunahickey Motors Rathmore. Avail of 0% finance or a €1,500 trade-in bonus across the Renault range. Terms and conditions apply. Order during our Renault sales event from October 17th to 19th and get a €500 prepaid MasterCard at Dunahickey Renault Rathmore.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Been going too long.
No, and you're very welcome back, of course. And there's new Kerry Senior County Ladies Football Champions in the kingdom. It keeps changing from year to year, which is quite exciting as well. And there's Castle Island, as Winston said earlier, they got the better Southern Gales in what turned out to be, I suppose, a very one-sided affair in the end, certainly when you're looking at the results of it. But that's probably not the real story as well. But I'm delighted to kind of tell that story now in the company of Dan Carney, who for this night is allowed wear that. normally he's neutral, like, no, but you can be Castle Island Desmonds out the door tonight, Dan. And of course, you brought along a couple of more customers with you. Ciara Griffin, I used to know you as, but now you're Ciara O'Sullivan.
I am, yeah.
God, times have really moved on. Aisling Leonard. Still Aisling.
Still Aisling.
Fair play. Good stuff. Absolutely. And you have a county title no more than your brother has. Yeah. Did you tell him that already, did you?
I did a few times.
And Marie Toomey, congratulations. Injured. Set it out.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was great, wasn't it?
Oh my God, unreal.
Probably the best seat in the house to sit it out when you're injured, was it?
Oh yeah, don't worry, I did plenty of roaring. So I felt I was part of it anyway, so that was good.
Absolutely. Dan Carney, congratulations. It is an incredible achievement, and I mean that really, because I suppose I followed the Desmond story as long as you have, because we were clashing at 12s and 14s and you were ahead of us winning little titles and things, because you were intermediate, they were senior, the whole lot. But you still get it all the way through, and I mean, you've had a couple of tough years as well. I mean, you went down, you won your intermediate, you went up, and then you kind of, I suppose, floated along and players came and players went and the whole lot. But when I looked through the team sheet this year, the one thing that surprised me, there was a lot of familiar names on it, a lot of names with a lot of experience, and I suppose did that carry the day?
Absolutely, that was a massive factor, Donal. Absolutely. I mean, look at Aisling. Aisling was back this year. Aisling Leonard, phenomenal player of the match in the final. You know, I mean, with Andrea Murphy coming down from Dublin, you know, and she was like a new signing for us. So that was massive as well. And then we had kind of a blend of, I suppose, youth coming through as well, and you combine all the other factors, but all the other experienced players that we had in the team, that I could go through them all, but, and that's, I suppose, what won the day. And you know, we built it up as the year went along. We had a good camp, a happy camp, and everybody was putting in the effort since last February. And Ciara here was doing our strength and conditioning from the very, very start, and you know, paid dividends in the finish, and particularly in the final when we peaked. And you know, I suppose, look, we're absolutely thrilled and delighted, and it is great to be coming in here as county champions.
Fair play. You can leave now.
Job done.
Well, congratulations, Scott, again as well. Come here, Ciara. Obviously, you played football, you stepped aside, you played the rugby. Was it nice to come back? And was it nice to come back with, I suppose, your own crew, maybe in that sense as well?
Yeah, it's always special to come back with a team, and I think a team you've played with from underage all the way up. And there was a really lovely group this year, real cohesion there, and there was just buy-in from the word go. Because Dan rang me in November, so we were talking about it, and about, you know, doing with S&C, and we said it there in that phone call that we have to target on championship. You know, that has to be our target, and that kind of structured our season going forward. And I thought, everyone was like, you're retired, like, you know, how do you mean you're retiring county? Like, you have to aim big. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just say, oh, I'm there to take part and fill a number. You have to want to win it. So that was our go forward, and that was our target, and wheels were set in motion. Then in February, we started our pre-season. The girls bought in massively from the word go, and that just makes it easier, because you get such a buzz when you see girls enjoying it and taking part and seeing people hitting PBs and peaking. And it was just unreal. It was like a proud mother at times, yeah, of training. You saw a girl just hitting these class numbers, like, okay, we're doing the right thing here. And it was just a really nice bunch, and we all kind of drove each other and are still driving each other, yeah, which is nice.
Of course, the way it looks at now at the moment, like, you broke that glass ceiling, and there's nothing stopping you from going to what's on next.
Oh yeah, exactly. We'll keep going. We'll keep going as long as we can kick a football for the season. We'll keep doing a few extra runs just to make sure we're ready to go. But as I said, there's such a strong panel there. You know, you've 36, 37 people on panel, which is insane. And it just allows us to train at that intensity and have that, you know, do the different drills, do our different plays and play, train the way you want to play.
Yeah.
Because I think if you say, oh, I want to play a certain way, you have to train that way, you have to get that.
And you need all the bodies there, exactly, because they're all the players in the jigsaw that you need. You
and
can't have
so
14
important.
One night, you can't just play backs and forwards and for the whole night. Speaking of good backs, they moved you somewhere else today.
I'm gone midfield now.
Really graduated.
Go on an adventure up to the forwards.
Remember in the old days, you wouldn't be allowed past midfield. You'd be like, oh my God, pass it, kick it. Don't do that. What's it like? Is it a new lease of life, is it?
It is. But I suppose I would have always been playing a little bit with the club in midfield, I think, over the years. But probably never went past the midfield line and stayed in the backs defending a bit more, as that's what I kind of know always. But like, no, I've enjoyed it.
What's the win mean to you? Like, you've played a lot of football. You've played with Kerry teams. You've played minor and the whole lot. You played lots of Desmond's teams at different stages. Right, where this win comes?
Oh, it's massive, like, because, like, I think when you're younger, I don't think you appreciate it as much. Like, I mean, we've definitely won still. We had won a good few things, I think, county championships, but probably as Sleeve Lucre. So when it's Desmond's as a whole, it's just been amazing. And, like, you're playing with, like we'll say, the likes of Lorraine and Cahill and Eilish, and then you have Marie and, like, Kira. I mean, it's massive, like, to be playing with them, and they're all in your age group, and it's lovely. And then you've got a fabulous... You've got a fabulous mix then of unbelievable youth that's coming through. I mean, our underage setup at the minute is doing so well, like, so it's so lovely to see them buying into everything, and they're like, I suppose it's great that they can look up to us, and but they're also excellent, like, they're so fit, and they're unbelievable skill that's coming through, and it's amazing to see that as well. So it's just a nice blend, I think, isn't it, of, like, players.
Marie, best season in the house on the final day. I mean, is that kind of like, oh, I'd love to be there, I'd love to be on it, or is it nice to watch it from the sideline knowing everything is going according to plan, and it went according to plan all the way through? I don't think there was any flip or any stress all the way through. You know, it was good, you got a good start, you moved on, you kept pace and you kept ahead. But was there something there that says, God, I'd love to be on?
Oh God, yeah, I shed quite a few tears now since the injury, to be honest. It was really, I set the target, like Kira said, like we said it at the start of the year, and I just 100% bought into it, like, because I just said, I'm 35 now, do you know, like, I was like, this is what I really want. I was like, I want to win a county senior championship with my club, do you know, and it just was something that I was just so passionate about, and I just was like, if I can just be there and be part of it, you know, I was like, I'm just so happy, like, and so, you know, feel like I've really achieved something, you know. So I really did, I struggled actually for a while actually after the injury, and only for the girls, like, and for Jen as well, in fairness. I'd be giving hugs to everyone arriving at training, a few tears would be shed, and I'd be like, come on now girls, get back to work. But do you know, it was, I found it very tough, in fairness, not to be able to actually participate. But like, the girls from day one and down as well, they were like, you're part of the team, you know, Kieran, in fairness to her, like, fucking what you call it, said it on the day. Do you know, she really did, do you know, she mentioned me in her speech, which I actually just, like, it meant so much to be actually said. And then I know before the match as well, he'd said, you know, like, they really made me feel like, even though I was injured, I was really still part of the team. And do you know, from that point of view, like, I can't thank them enough, because, like, you know, I love the club and I love the team. Like, it's just the passion that everyone has showed this year, and everyone's fighting for places, like, everyone wants to be on that starting 15. So do you know, it was devastating to be out, but look, at the same time, I'm glad to be able to be a head cheerleader on the sideline, and to be able to motivate everyone on.
Should be back for the two in a row, will you?
Oh yeah, sure, of course.
The defender title now. Come here, Dan, before we go to break. Desmond's very proud club, of course. If you go back through the black and white days, I mean, there was Desmond's players all over the place playing for Kerry. Some even didn't live in Desmond's land, I'd imagine, though, but they all had the flag and the whole lot. What's it mean to kind of put this class of 2024 into that kind of category now? I mean, because they've broke that ceiling, they're I mean, they're county champions, and I suppose county champions at a time where it's exciting to be county champions. I mean, you're the All-Ireland champions, it might mean a little bit more as well. Now you have the whole Kerry captain thing to worry about, whether it goes left or right, or whether Kerry makes a comeback or whatever it is. The whole lot. But I mean, it's an exciting time, and it's a great time to win it, particularly with the history of winning the All-Ireland this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it is a great year to win a county championship title. I Astaro O'Kinneade, would he do a video for us before the final, and he did an absolutely amazing video. And one of the things he said in it was, you know, like it or not, he said, you're going to be role models now for everybody that's coming up through the Desmond's ranks, you know, so you go out there and do it, you know. But I thought it was a very profound statement from Dara, because the way these girls have behaved throughout the year in terms of training, timekeeping, even, you know, with exception Aisling time and again, you know, now and again, you know, but
that
no,
never changed.
No, but all jokes aside, like they have, like, there's when we go up training a couple of nights a week, there'd be young girls on the field before us, and they'd see, you know, the numbers up there and the effort that they're putting in, and that's huge. That means an awful lot. And again, look, you go back to those great teams of, I suppose, the 80s and that, like, and those great Desmond's teams that came up. But the club was kind of reformed since then,
mm-hmm.
and like Marie's father, Teddy, would have been part of that reform, as would Ashton's father Eugene. You know, and that bond is there from the step when the club was restarted again. And you know, look, the great people that were there for the club at the start, you know, Steve Murphy, and I could go on, I could name them all, and I'd prefer not to, because I could leave people out, and that would be unfair. But that's what they have brought the club to at this stage, to be senior county champions for 2024. And you know, you would be proud of that.
Yeah. As Christy Hennessy said years ago, it took me 20 years to become an overnight success. So it takes a lot of time to get there. But yeah, there, stay with us after a break. We'll drill down a little bit more, but we need to take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, of course, we're joined here with the Castle Island Desmonds winning county championship team. Dan Carney, of course, their manager, and we have Ciara and Aisling and Marie as well. Aisling, we talked about how much it meant, and it was the whole family involvement and the whole lot. Going back, when do you originally play for Desmonds? Can you remember going through the gate the first day, and who was your under 10 coach or under 12 coach?
We're going back a long time now.
No, we're not going back that long.
I know. I suppose it was under 10s. I think, or like, I think there was an under 10 team.
Yeah.
Mm. Possibly, and I definitely think we were playing a lot with the boys at that point as well.
Yeah.
Definitely up to under 12 boys, I'd say, and mm-hmm. then, and even under 14 boys. But I'd say, like, it was definitely under 10s we kind of started out. I'd say I was 10 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my dad did set up the club, from my memory. But yeah, like, it was great. We loved it. Like, mm-hmm. we've, I suppose, been steeped in it from such a long time, and like, all of us now play, like, as well. So it's great. Like, mm-hmm.
And Marie, of course, your late dad, I mean, he done everything. He riffed. Managed, coach, umpire.
He never managed. He could have. Was in the background.
He was well able to manage anyway.
Yeah, he always wanted to put in his 2 pence into it anyway, in fairness to him. And, you know, like, he really was very passionate again about the club. He did a load of fundraising for the club, and always was at every match, and you'd hear him all over town. And I have gotten that from him, I'm afraid. But, you know, I won't say it's a bad thing. But, you know, he really was there, and he was a great friend to Eugene's as well. They were great buddies, you know. So it's tough, I suppose, to, like, on the day, I kind of, at one stage, I think Julia Curtis was taking a score, and I was like, Dad, please just let her score this one. I think we have it then. Do you know what? I just said a little prayer to him, and she went, put it over, and I said, you know what? He's there in spirit anyway, and that's for sure and certain. And I did feel that on the day, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, you'd be thrilled with who you beat as well, I suppose.
Yeah. For sure and certain. It's always a nice one.
Come here, Ciara. Your own involvement getting back into Desmond's.
Yeah, I suppose when I retired from rugby, I kind of wanted to take a break from all kind of team sports, just clear the head and everything. And I kind of went into a bit of running, ran a few half marathons for my sins. And then kind of I was dabbling a bit with football, but I wasn't, you know, I was there, but I wasn't fully committed, if that made sense. So I was kind of prioritising running. Whereas this season, football is my priority, like everything else took a back seat, and was back into my regular mode of just football. And it was really nice, actually. I got a real buzz out of it, and like, I loved going down to training. I still love going, we're still training, but like, you know, it was a real buzz, and like, I'd be there like planning out my warm ups and planning out my sessions and my runs, and the girls probably laugh. I'm nearly a bit OCD at times with my with the warm up, and I'd be like, right, we do this and this, and I just loved it, and I felt really kind of, you know, part, like, we're part of a bigger, it was a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew it wasn't just playing football, it was a bigger, there was something bigger here, and you just knew. I say within the first block of pre-season, we did two weight blocks in the gym, the new gym in Desmond, which was a massive resource this year. It was class to have it, and we're doing that twice a week for February and March. And I think at the end of the February, we kind of just said, like, there's some group here. There was just such good buy-in. There was great buzz, and you just knew then we were building into something nice. And look, obviously the season, things didn't go every way we wanted during the season, but I think that's what you want, because I think you, I know it sounds like a cliche, but you learn more from your losses or your poor performances than what you did great in, because you're like, we can do this so much better. Like, I'm thinking, like, thinking back to when we played Southern Gales at home, we learned so much from that game. Things what we could have improved, things we did well, and things we know we can improve on leading into the final and leading into the semis. And I think it just really set us on the right foot, and no one panicked. That's what I loved. At no point no one panicked, which was nice.
Is there a nice structure to that championship, the way it is played, that it gives you that time to kind of maybe gel your players, play your games, without knowing that we can make a couple of mistakes here and we can still be at the business end, and we can have a dodgy enough semi-final or a very good semi-final, and we're in a final, and then it's head to head. Does that help, particularly when you have a big panel, obviously, if they're all looking for a place on the team, and then you have a couple of injuries here and there? Or is it a case like some teams just hit the ground running and it must be win, win, win? There's no real reward at the end until you kind of, there's one game you have to win, that's the final. There's one game you have to win, the semi-final, and that doesn't really matter how you win it, just get through it. And that was that kind of way against the Crokes. You just done enough, really, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. And yeah, just getting back to your original point there, I liked the structure of the championship this year. You know, if you finish first, you went straight to the semi-final. If you finish second in your group, you went to the quarter-final. Okay, so that's where we finished second in the group, because Southern Gales beat us, and we had originally beaten Finucane St Sennans out in Mount Cole. So I really felt that extra game was a great help to us, because we played Rathmore and Castle Island, and we had a good result against them. We knew we were going in against a really, really strong Crokes team. Didn't perform well. No, that was an awful lot. Well, that was down to Crokes as well, because they are a good team, and they're going to be a team that are going to be there or thereabouts for the next few years. We got out of it. We kicked 14 wides at the poor performance. We said, lads, if we don't cop on, we're not going to be next or near any place in the final. And I suppose we were kind of written off all over the county, you know. And sometimes when you're written off like that, it builds a bit of a resilience and a want.
Yeah.
And
is that what it is behind, I suppose, closed doors? People will say, oh, sure, we're written off, nobody gave us a chance, and teams will either worry about it or they'll turn it to their advantage. And obviously, you were delighted with that.
We were thrilled. Yeah. I make no bones about it. Like, I mean, I'd meet people and they'd say, and there was one man I remember meeting a man one day, and he said to me, I suppose you'll have it tough enough in the final. And I says, if you were a betting man now, who would you put your money on? He said, Genie, I'd put it on Southern Gales. I said, yeah, that's your answer now, you know. So I was delighted with that kind of stuff, you know.
So you cleaned up the bookies, is that what you're saying?
But we knew within our own group that this was, yeah, this wasn't real. Like, you know, the talk about us wasn't real. We had full confidence in our own abilities, and we knew if we hit it right on the day, and training had been going really, really well, up to the final as well.
You would never have even written down the start that you thought you would have got. It's the start you wanted, obviously, but I mean, the lead you got straight away, like, it was massive in the county final, where I suppose you are the underdog coming in, then all of a sudden the other team are asking themselves questions, and there's maybe a bit of doubt coming into them and saying, God, you know, these weren't what they were supposed to be, they're a bit tougher, we're losing battles in different places that we didn't think. I mean, did that surprise you? I mean, obviously you're going to say no, we thought, but I mean, there had to be some bit of, we're ahead of the curve here a bit.
I
mean, maybe.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when you get a start like that, it's a dream start. Mm-hmm. It's a dream. And the funny thing about it is, we were slow to start all year in every game we played, even our league games. Mm-hmm. We were slow to start. So to get such a good start like that was just phenomenal. I mean, we went up 2-2, I think, within 10 minutes or something, like 2-2, maybe no score. So that was a huge start, like, you know. And the very first goal was pivotal. And on training on Friday night, Andrea Murphy said to me, she said, I can skin my player on the outside, and if somebody's coming in the back post, I'll get it into them. And I said, I'd prefer Andy if you punched it over the bar. And she ignored me, and she put it across, and Julia Curtin came in and she put it. And I was delighted that she ignored me, because it was a great, great goal. A great, great start to the game. And that's where it went from, because it was a dirty night. And if you built up a good lead on a dirty night like that, it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
And after that then, any ball that hit the ground the girls were phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. They were hitting, you know, 40% balls, dirty old balls on the ground. The girls were getting there, you know, and that's why you win, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Psychologically, Ciara, when you get a lead 2-2, wow, jeez. Do you work harder to hold on to it? Do you push more forward? Because there was, at no stage did you feel, oh God, we'll hold back a bit now because we're, you know, some teams kind of fall and we're 8 points up. Oh God, you know, we'll hang on. But it wasn't with you. You pushed on forward and forward and forward.
Absolutely, because look, when you're playing against a side as talented as Southern Gales, 2-2, you know, is not a massive lead, you know, as we all know from past experiences, unfortunately. But so we were like, next job, keep going. We reset each time. We knew you'd have to be ruthless with a slight breeze at the first half, which was great. So you had to be ruthless with that breeze and take every opportunity you could. But I think our biggest thing was that we reset each time. Mm-hmm. We reset, set our goal again, reset, get the kick out, reset, go for the next run, and we kind of kept ticking away that way. You couldn't sit in your laurels. I think when it comes to a final, you win at all costs. Mm-hmm. And you take every opportunity, but also you make your opportunities too, because I think leading to finals and games, like you can control the controllables. So we were able to control our training that week. Mm-hmm. Our nutrition, our pre-game and how we warmed up and everything, we controlled that. And then when you write, we can perform now on the day. And I think we got that performance, and we got, as Dan said, we got that start. We had to keep going, keep momentum, because if you sit back, you're just going to regret it. And mm-hmm. you didn't want to be there at the final whistle, lost in sacks, and saying, oh, what if we took that chance? So you weren't going to leave anything after you.
And Marie, you need big players to turn up. Mm-hmm. Talk about Aisling Leonard. How big was she that night?
Oh, like Aisling, we all just talk about it at home, actually, how amazing she is. Like, honest to God, she is just a phenom. Like, she is unreal. She is like, she's just football pure talent. Like, she gets balls and comes out of scrums nearly on but like, she just comes out with balls that like she shouldn't come out with, like, and she tips balls away and dispossesses. I think she was picking pockets all night, like that night. She just like is amazing, and she kick off her right and her left. Like, we actually played with a team in Dublin there, Aisling came on, and we won an intermediate county title as well a few years ago, and like Aisling was playing the forwards that time, and she can play anywhere, she can do anything. She scored a goal the last night with a girl holding on to her right from the opposition, and she was still dragging her along as she was going forward, and she still scored. So she just, oh my God, I can't tell you how much how much I just think of Aisling, like, you know, as a person and as a teammate and as a player. She just is phenomenal. Like, you know, we've just been so lucky that she came back from such a horrific injury, like, to get her, do her cruciate and to come back better the next time. Like, I think everyone came back this year and they were just fitter, faster, stronger. A lot of that was down to Ciara, because she did so much work with us before, like, and everyone was just buzzing in the gym, as Ciara said. Like, we're hitting PBs all over the place, and, you know, everyone's just really enjoying the training. Like, and there's always a bit of a buzz around training. Like, we used to often call myself and Ciara to have a sneaky chat beforehand, and we'd just say, geez, there's a good buzz now today, you know. And it just kept that momentum, kept up the whole year, you know. There was never a night that we thought, God, the momentum's low here now tonight, you know. It was just amazing. And like, that's from bringing the girls back, like, you know, getting those girls that we've all played together for years, you know, and getting them back into the panel, you know. And it really just drives this really good you know, structure and really good passion for the club and for the sport, you know. So it's amazing to be back playing with the girls, and I know I'm injured, but to be able to play with them even for the start of the season was amazing, and to watch them is just another thing altogether, because they just are like phenomenal to watch. It was amazing to watch them and to do how well they actually did. I kept just looking, every now and again I'd look at the crowd to be like, is this actually happening? Because we were just so good, like, everything was just ticking, you know. And it was from the coaching that Dan has done all year as well, you know. Like, the last day of training, the girls did drill after drill after drill after, you know, kicking those 14 wides. They just did point scoring then for, like, you know, I'd say it was nearly half an hour, and between as well as shot stopping for the goals as well for the goalkeepers, the girls, you know, and as well and for kicking over the bar. And it was just, you know, you could just see it was getting better and better and better, you know. So every time, like we said, we did anything wrong, we kind of were able to work on that and improve again on it, and it just all clicked on the day. And it was, I do feel that we can go further, and we can keep clicking, we can keep performing, because we've put the work in from the start of the year, you know.
Fair play. I'm delighted you segued into where we can go, because we will talk about where you will be going, particularly in the first round of Munster anyway. We'll do that after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back. Of course, we're chatting with the Castle Island Desmonds Senior Ladies Football, of course, County Champions 2024. Just before the break, we were talking about where we're going to go now, Dan.
Yeah.
Is County Championship enough for you? Not for Kira anyway, because she still has training regimes and all that. And, Aisling might be allowed, maybe, all right. The season's long enough for Aisling.
Yes,
give us a bit of time to get back. But you're heading into the Munster campaign.
Yeah, we are. Look, I suppose the aim is to start the year was to win the county championship, and, yeah, and we've done it now. And of course, you've
had good runs at Munster. I mean, at the intermediate level of it as well. I mean, you've had great memories, and you've gone all the way in those competitions too. Yeah. Senior, though, you know, it's something that Kerry clubs haven't really broke that ceiling yet. You know, I mean, we seem to win, but then we can't take the next step.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And you know, when you look at it, we're in the semi final. We're playing the winners of the Clare Championship. Now the final that hasn't been played yet is between Kilmurry Ibrickin and Dora Bearfield. So we'll get a chance to look at that anyway, to give a call up and have a look at it. Not too sure where it's going to be played yet, but that's the next step. That's the next focus.
Is that a way?
It is a way.
Yeah,
it is a way. So we have to wait, see who comes out of that. We can't look any further than that.
You get Billy for that, surely, will you?
What's that? Oh. Yeah. Billy's winning matches, is it?
Yeah. Billy has about 46 buses. There was a time he only had one.
Every bus he takes out seems to be a winner. So yeah, you know, it could be like,
he knows,
you know,
his way to clear as well, to be fair to him. But I mean, how exciting is that? Like, you've achieved this, but you have another competition to look forward to, maybe at a different level or whatever it is. It's a different challenge, but it's something that I presume it's in the back of your head that we're one of four teams or five teams that's in this competition. We have every bit of chance as the rest of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as I said to the girls, we did a small session on Friday and I said it's actually a privilege to still be training at this stage, you know, it's a season, because it means we've won something, we've something to play, else to play for. And I think you just have to reset, refocus, and that our new goal now is get to the semi-final, perform the semi-final and go from there. I think if, you know, everyone's like, oh, dates going forward, you have to just focus on your next job, because I think if you go too long-sighted, you can nearly get a bit complacent or a bit distracted, whereas our next job is a semi-final. You know, if we win, fine, there might be another game, and if we don't, you know, it could be the end of our season, and hopefully you want our season to go on a bit longer. So I suppose our focus now is that we're performing, training and peaking at the right time now, changing our, you know, our training regime. And
does that change, without giving away any secrets, does that change a lot, or is it? It can't be a continuation of what it was, or do you kind of? Am I giving away?
It's privilege information.
I'm asking all the questions. If the late Taylor told me, asked you, how much you say to
them? No, it's just keeping things fresh and, you know, keeping us going. I think a big time at this time of year is managing load as well, managing people's legs, and that people, you know, basketball or the sports team.
Yes,
soccer,
they kick in, of course.
Kicks in. Rugby kicks in this time of year, and you've got to watch people's load, I think, when it comes to training, and that you're being efficient, and I think being trained smarter, not harder, in the time.
And of course, you're heading into that time of year where fields are getting worse. I mean, it's going to be a different challenge as well.
Yeah.
Dan Carey, does that look at picking different teams? Will Andre Murphy be running around this, coming in and doing maybe?
Look, every game is horses for courses. You know, you look at the opposition, you see, where can I match up there, you know, and that's what it is. And in fairness to the girls, like, the problem with the big panel is at times when you can't pick a player, it breaks your heart. It does, like, and genuinely so, but it is horses for courses, like, and we'll have to see what they have, what either of the semi of the Clare finalists have, and then we'll pick our team based on that, like, you know. But anybody that started the final, and anybody that came on, we had five subs coming on, six actually, because there was a temporary sub as well, like, they all stood up, every single one of them, like, and there's others that didn't get a game, you know. So it's a good place to be, you know, without getting carried away about it, but it is a good place to be, like, and there is that kind of competition there. And you know, people are genuinely disappointed if they don't get a game, if they don't make the team, and that's a huge thing, because if you're not disappointed, if you're not, you know, you're not.
That's changing the culture too, I presume, within the club over different years. I presume maybe you didn't have the numbers, players played because, and maybe got comfortable. I don't know, some players, because you're short numbers, I'm always doing back or the corner forward or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you create a bigger panel and you have numbers, and I presume you have an awful lot of younger players coming through.
And in fairness, you hit it in the head there. Like, I mean, the work that's been done by the underage coaches in the Desmonds club, we see it ourselves. Like, and they've had a lot of success. But there's more to than just winning things underage. Like, it's that these players are coming through and they're training at senior level. I mean, if we had a girl 15 years of age there on the team, and she was keeping out and on. an awful lot more experienced campaigners. First cousin of Ciara, Leah Griffin, is a super player. Super player, like, you know, so the likes of Leah there are coming through with coaching, and there's a lot of other players maybe a year or two older than her on the panel as well, like, and it's from good coaching that they're coming up to us, and they're happy with the camp now as well, in fairness to us, when they come in and they're being made very, very welcome. Mm-hmm. And but it's all coming from underage and the values that are being instilled into them.
Yeah, that's great. I imagine being a 15-year-old coming into a camp and winning a county championship, you don't win them every year, like.
No, and it wouldn't say it's the same girl now. It's just another game of football, which is great.
Yeah.
I think it's great to see. And actually, that was, you know, we're saying it's such a family element to the team this year. And one thing that I found really special this year is I got to play with my two first cousins. So Caitlin is Leah's sister, and I got to play with her and Leah at the same time, and it was just class. You know, it's something that, you know, like when you're reminding them growing up, you never think you go and play football with them. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm old now.
Are you roaring for a pass, or are you telling them to?
Yeah, literally. I'm like, keep going, you've longer, you've faster legs than me. But you know, it's just something special. I think that's been really special this year. And you've sisters playing on the teams together, which is nice. And it just makes, I think, that bit more, that sweeter. And there's real buy-in, and you just know it's for a bigger purpose going forward.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, fair play to you. There's comms coming in everywhere. Loads of people from South Kerry congratulating you. We'll read it after. Listen, guys, congratulations. It is a wonderful achievement. And I suppose it's a reward for the hard work at the end of the road, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't win a county championship and start Tuesday and win it on a Saturday. And for some clubs, it takes longer than others. And I suppose there's so many disappointments along the way as well. I mean, you get so close, and I suppose players disappear and come in and come out and the whole lot, and some get injured even. And you have to wait for them to get back as well. And then, I suppose, Ciara, you need the right men or women to come along in the management to guide it and have a vision, the whole lot. Dan has that. I didn't think he was ever going to say county championship manager. God,
it's not my first time, no, Donald. It's not my first. I remember.
Just on that one, I think a big thing we need to say as a team that we have such a good management group. Mm-hmm. We've Dan, Mary, Aileen, Martin, Karen.
Yeah.
It's just it's a massive group, and teamwork. It's a class, and they put so much time and effort into us, mm-hmm. that we really appreciate it. That, as I said, the more time off the pitch.
And your fantasy dicked out.
Yes, the Forge in Castle Island sponsored us some lovely tops and jackets, which we really appreciate.
Must mention Teddy Walsh, who sponsored us lovely tops for the final as well, building contractors, and also Brennan's Hairdressing in Castle Island. They sponsored fine gear bags and all that, like, you know. So you know, Castle Island people are always great to look after each other, you know, and they have, and fair play to them.
And long may it continue.
Exactly.
Well, listen, guys, thanks very much. Fantastic show this evening, of course. Big thanks to the Kerry Supporters Club for coming in, John King, of course, and Noel Leary as well. Big thanks to the girls for coming in. We will do it all next week again. And if you have a comment or anything during the week, 083 300 3300, you can get in contact. Big thanks to Keane on sound. And well done to Ivan this time last week. He was in Clare, he was walking home. He had to drive home to Tralee this evening, but I'm sure he'll get there as well. A bit up next, our own fantastic Galway girl. There she is, look, Mary Conroy. If you need a corner forward or a wing back, you know, or somebody who could win all Ireland for you, she'd be long as well. That talks us up after the break. Stay with us on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.